shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
A radical fringe element of demonstrators.
I don't agree with this decision because it's really, these countries are very dangerous.
Unfortunately, this was done in the spur of the moment, and nobody had the opportunity to point out that
the question here is very serious. So what is it in the atmosphere that allows a person to feel comfortable?
Good night and good luck.
He's a jackass.
Giant douche nozzle.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Coming up, we have the story of that lab technician who was brought in for questioning and for DNA samples in the death of a Yale student found walled up on campus, and he has been arrested. Does that mean the DA matches? Well, the DNA matches? Well, I'm going to have to assume that it does. Does that mean that he is guilty? Well, sure. And should we go ahead and drop him off the end of a pier someplace, maybe into a shark-infested waters? I think so. But there is due process. All right. And I say that with all seriousness, but geez, how do you going to take a good lawyer there, man? Good luck. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Now, we're going to get into that story, and we'll get into a whole bunch of other stuff, including the story about this Florida teen who ran away from her parents in Ohio, claiming that she was going to be killed in an honor killing because she's a Muslim who converted to Christianity, and now a Florida court says there is no credible threat. Was she making it up? Was she lured to Florida by this Christian couple? We'll find out. I want to ask you a question, though, because there are so it's a challenge. It really is a challenge to get people out of their traditional ways of thinking. When I listen to people, and they can be liberals or conservatives, tell me how they think things ought to be. We must help people. Government is here to help people. Government is a resource to alleviate the problems that people have. And this is how it's supposed to be, liberal. We must take government off the backs of businesses. We must allow businesses to employ. We must allow the American people to rise and fall on their own merits. This is the reality of the human condition, and this is what America does best. That's a conservative. But I don't know what either one of those people have to do with reality. Well, I'll tell you what, they don't have anything to do with reality. The liberal and the conservative today is as far removed from reality as the average lunatic in a nut house. Now, some people may find that amusing. Some people may think I'm overstating the case. I'm being literal. I'm being literal. The average, the conservative and the liberal, and even the independent, these people are as far removed from curing the country's problems as a lunatic is in a madhouse. They see the world the way they see the world, and everybody else is crazy. Now, do you know what the definition of insanity is? The definition of insanity is you're okay, everybody else is nuts. You know what you're doing, but all those guys out there, all those doctors, you know, the guy with the straitjacket, those guys are nuts. My father, I saw an example of this, my own father, when he was dying, he had Alzheimer's. And he was wearing two pairs of pants when I came to see him one day. And I said, Dad, you have on two pairs of pants. Oh, yeah. No, I got it all figured out. Yeah, yeah. See, the nurses, they're always telling me what to do. Well, this way, they won't. Oh, yeah. Your old dad, he knows what's going on. Oh, sure, yeah. How are you going to tell that guy anything different, right? No, Dad, you don't understand. You don't wear two pairs of pants. Well, ordinarily, you wouldn't. But see, the nurses are always bugging me that I'm not doing the right thing. So I put on two pairs of pants. That way, they can't bug me. That's a conservative and a liberal. That's a progressive and a neocon, whatever you want to call them. That's what they are. They are so far removed from what is going to cure this country, they should be locked up in bedlam. I mean, I'm talking about straitjackets and tied to a wall because they're dangerous. Both of them. Why? I'll give you an example. There wasn't too long ago a time when doctors believed that the best way to cure illness was to bleed the patient. Now, today it sounds barbaric. We can't even believe that it was considered. But we have to understand that we stand at the pinnacle of human development, and we think we're all that in a bag of pork rinds. We don't realize that there was a time when we didn't know as much, right? And generations to come, maybe 100, 200 years down the road, will look at us, and they'll think we're nothing more than apes. Can you believe these jackasses? They were, guess what they did? What? They're driving in cars. What's that? Well, it's the thing that rolled along the ground. Oh, my God. They used to believe that you bled the human being. You bleed. You open up incisions in certain key areas, and you let blood out of the body, and that will take away pressure from the organs. It will bleed away any what they called toxic humors or fluids from the body. They did this. And I'll tell you something else. It took a long time and a lot of convincing to finally move those jackasses out of the way and introduce a new era where doctors would cure disease by vaccinating people with, guess what? What do you think they vaccinated people with? Okay? You know what they vaccinated people with? They vaccinated people with the poison of the very disease they were trying to keep the person from getting. It's called vaccination. It's called immunizing, right? Smallpox. How do you get rid of smallpox? In the early days, doctors discovered that if they took a little bit of the virus and injected it into a healthy human being, they could create an immunity to the disease. Do you know the crap those guys took? Do you know the decades, the years and the years and the years of trying to get through to these imbeciles who believed that you must do it this way? You have to. Did you ever see that movie, The Madness of King George? That thing was a riot. By the way, I had a little notice. Where is Robert and Bud tonight? I've given them the night off, okay? I gave you guys the night off.
Really?
Get out of here. In The Madness of King George, there's a doctor who says, I believe the stool is most eloquent. This doctor liked to look at people's crap. When they took a crap in the morning, he'd look at it in a bowl, and he'd smell it, and he'd look at it, and he's not getting enough grains. You know, some jazz, right? Until finally this doctor looks at him and he says, oh, the stool. And he says, when will you realize that a man can be a stranger to reason and still have perfectly formed evacuations? Meaning the guy can still be crazy and he still is taking healthy dumps. What has this got to do with anything, right? Well, folks, I'm here to tell you, and I don't know. If you know anybody that calls themselves a conservative or a liberal, you're talking to a jackass that believes in bleeding the body, or they believe in looking at the stool. Anything other than to cure the patient. They're going to hold on to their little opinions about how life operates, even if the patient is killed. Even if the patient dies. And we got a sick patient right now. Is it on death's door? No, it isn't on death's door. But the patient's sick. And what is being applied to cure the patient? The same old bleeding and looking at the stool stuff. We got the same old doctors. The same old fright-wigged, powdered-wigged, knee-breech bastards that are walking in and, looking at the patient. Well, I believe the stool. There's your conservative. Well, I think we should bleed the patient. There's your liberal. They're both idiots. Now along comes people like me, the free thinkers, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I got my head up my ass, too. But let's just say anybody. Let's say guy. Let's say Citizen X comes along and he says, I have a way. And we should try that. Well, what is this called? Well, it's called a partisan approach, a bipartisan approach. See, a lot of what the president's thinking is good. Now, maybe what he's saying actually is let's do the private option as well as the public option. And this is a far cry from the National Health Care of Canada. But just like that guy, that doctor, so many years ago, God knows who he was, who said, I've been trying this new experiment. If you take the poison from the person that's sick and inject a little bit into a healthy person, you'll immunize that person. Just as that guy was looked at as if he needed a straitjacket right away, that's what happens to people who say, you know, maybe in order for us to get ready for this next century, maybe we ought to take another look at the idea of some kind of a hybrid of private and public protections to make sure that everybody's insured. We don't have that in this country. We haven't got that reasonable approach. We haven't got it at all. We've got the same old stupid people. And I think it's pretty funny to watch the Tea Party people wearing their three-cornered hats, just as much as I think it's hysterical to see progressives with their freaking long hair and beads like they still think it's 1969 going off to the convention in Detroit, talking about, you know, the season of confrontation like it's going to be a season of, you know, the 68 season all over again. I mean, these people are living in Lulu land, baby. They don't know which end is up. They're all a bunch. They're infected with a mixture of nostalgia and the hubris that comes with ideology. They're so proud of themselves. And meanwhile, our country is in big trouble, and everybody has staked their ground, and they're standing there like the dullards that they are. So that's what, in my opinion, that's what's happening. We got to throw out all of those old cures. We got to become scientists again, and we have to approach this as a scientific problem. When a guy called me the other night, he said, you know, Obama wants to spread the wealth around. That is, I might as well have been talking, excuse me for saying that, I might as well have been talking to some, like a native in the bush or something, you know, about, wait, I want to come into your village and inoculate your people. And, no, bad mojo. In other words, he's saying that Obama wanting to spread the wealth around is kind of like saying all of those funny lights out over the swamp, those must be elves. No, that's swamp gas. And what is happening when we talk about government assistance to a corporation or to people or to increasing taxes here and lowering them here is a scientific approach to a problem that the patient has. There's an area of the body that is being stressed. We have to remove the pressure and we have to put it on another area of the body. We have to race the antibodies to it. But to someone who is stuck in the science of the third century, that's Obama spreading the wealth around. You're not even speaking a language they understand. And I don't think the country's in critical shape. I think the country's doing remarkably well, considering that Susie Orman, I don't know, was about 6 months ago, said we were facing a five-year depression. Where are you these days, Susie, huh? Boy, she's more popular than ever. She's got nothing right since she opened her big fat yap about the depression and the soup lines. I'll never forget that one. The country is, you know, the stock market's flirting with 10,000 again. The country is slowly beginning to re-energize itself. That doesn't mean we haven't got a century we're looking toward. That doesn't mean that we haven't got to don't have to kick ourselves in the ass and get ready for a very, very competitive century. That doesn't mean that we still don't have to solve a lot of these problems that are going to drag our asses so far down, man, we're going to be last when they're crossing the finish line. Last! You know how the 20th century is the American century? It ain't going to be the 21st century if we don't know how to begin to take a hold of some of these problems and kick a little bit of ass and quit walking around with our hippie hair and beads and our three-cornered hats. Let's get real, man. Let's cool it with the costume party, okay? Obama's a witch doctor. Bush is Nazis. Bush is Hitler. Obama's Hitler. And Jimmy Carter weighing in as if he has the moral right when he said nothing as Bush was being compared to Hitler. I believe all of these old, tired women, like Jimmy Carter, like Nancy Pelosi, like John Boehner, like Mitch McConnell, all of these old ladies, somebody ought to stick them out in the pasture, man. Give them a feed bag and get out of here, man, because the country can't afford you guys anymore. We just can't afford you guys anymore. We can't afford you standing there all proud of yourself as you just you know, repeat the same drivel and the country continues to suffer. Do us all a big fat favor. Take whatever retirement they're giving you there in Congress and get out of town while the getting's good. All right, we're going to come back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We got some calls coming up as well. And a Hofstra University student could face charges over falsely claiming that she was gang raped, as well as that lab technician charged in the Yale murder. 876-877-Phil. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So that lab tech has been arrested by police in the Yale murder, and a Hofstra student falsely claims gang rape. We'll find out what happens to both of them. 877-876 here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Here is Tony in Providence, Rhode Island. Tony, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, you know, I got a question. With all these people saying that the president is spending money so foolishly, I'd like to know, why is it that the banks that come up with their own loan modifications to help homeowners in hardship to protect their own assets, like, you know, loans going bad and facing foreclosure? Why did it take someone like President Obama to come up with this idea to help people in hardship at the same time slow down the foreclosures?
Because any business is not invested necessarily in cutting back their profits. They're invested in increasing profits. And so any kind of change in business practice that means fewer customers or not as much money, businesses are never prone to make those decisions. This is why we have an Occupational and Safety Hazard Administration. This is why we have an Environmental Protection Agency. This is why we have all of the laws, the antitrust laws and anti-monopoly laws that we have. Business could, Tony, you're right, say, now, guys, let's curtail our actions here, here, and here. They don't do that. It took the death of some, I don't know how many young women in the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York back at the turn of the century, 20th century. They died. They burned alive because they had no emergency exits. It took that for the Congress to sit down and say, obviously, we need some kind of safety hazard protection for workers. It took a newspaper writer in New York to say, why are children working 10-hour days? What is that about? Business didn't do it. And I wish they would. And if they did, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, I know. I think it's just a shame that, we can't afford business as usual. I think the less fortunate that, and I'm speaking from experience. I am having my loan modified. At least I hope that I will, but I'm paying a high interest rate right now. But it's sad that if you don't have the perfect credit score or you're way up there, that you don't qualify for that better interest rate that to those that are not in hardship take advantage of.
All the better reason, man, to make sure your credit is solid, and you're just going to have to take what you can get these days. Because right now, the president is under a lot of pressure, and so is Congress, not to let anybody, and I'm not talking about you, Tony, but not to let anybody who just walked away from a loan or deadbeated a loan, they don't want these guys to get a break. I appreciate your call. Good luck to you, man. I know you're not one of those guys, Tony. You're just saying, hey, you know what? My credit rating ain't exactly the peachy keen, man. It ain't all that boogie-woogie. Well, you know. Mine's okay, but it ain't skyrocketing. I mean, I got a lot of, especially when you own a business and you put a lot of your own money into a business, you wind up having what is called that debt to asset ratio that sometimes makes credit companies nervous too. You may be paying all your bills, but they don't like the amount of debt you have to the amount of assets that you're bringing in. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, I believe it's Hania in Mobile, Alabama. Hania, how are you tonight? What's on your mind?
Good evening. My name is Hania.
I've been to
an FM station and found you, and I was really very pleased. I'm
awake
because I just got back from Australia after quite some stay there, and I wanted to talk about the healthcare system. Let me say I've lived in this country for over 30 years, and I grew up in Australia, and I'm just appalled because there is private healthcare insurance in Australia. The government subsidizes it, I believe, 30%. There is also public health care. Let me just say, for example, my mother is a pensioner. She just...
Meaning she's retired.
She's retired, that's right.
Okay.
She's a pensioner. I think you have to have below a certain amount to be a pensioner over there, even though everybody pays. No. She just paid for private health care, which was $1,400 for the whole year. She also has public health care. I flew over there because she was in hospital, in a public hospital for 2.5 weeks with all the tests that she needed. They also sent home a nurse to take care of her for the first few days. It's just amazing.
It can be done.
It absolutely can. can be done.
You know, Hania, what you're facing in America is a cultural response more than a political or economic response. Americans are afraid of anything that they perceive to be European. They believe that Europe has gone down the, quote, socialist road, and anything that smacks of a European solution frightens Americans. It is childish. It's not rooted in reality. It's rooted more in a 19th, 20th century mindset. Americans don't recognize that the world has turned, and it's turning in ways that we might want to take another look at. It doesn't mean that we got to do. And I appreciate your call. I got to run though. Doesn't mean we got to do everything that they do over there the way that they do it. We take it and we make it American, baby. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876 Phil.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876 Phil. Here's a story from Mineola, New York. A prosecutor is considering whether to file criminal charges against a Hofstra University freshman who recanted claims that she was gang raped by five men in a dormitory bathroom. Now, it just so happens, I'm going to say this, and this young lady herself may be African-American, but I don't know yet. All five of these guys are black, or four of them are black. There's a fifth gentleman that was not arrested at the time. They were still looking for him at the time that they finally found out that this little bitch was lying. The student, whom officials have declined to identify, has been suspended from school pending a disciplinary hearing, said Hofstra spokeswoman Melissa Connolly. The spokeswoman also said that a suspension against Rondell Bedward, the only Hofstra student among the five men implicated, had been lifted. Now, this man, Rondell Bedward, is a Hofstra student. He is not one Hofstra student. The other four, or the other three, I should say, are not. And I don't know this fifth guy. Four of the men were released from the Nassau County Jail. A fifth man still sought when the hoax was revealed, so he won't be arrested. It looks more like a porn movie, said one of the prosecutors, because they had video evidence of this alleged rape. And the guy took a look at it and says, it looks like a porn movie. There's no tying up. There's no bondage. Nobody's getting beaten up, and there's no screaming. On Wednesday night, Nassau County District Attorney Kathleen Rice revealed that the 18-year-old accuser had recanted and said the sex with the five men had been consensual. It's crazy. The system is supposed to prevent these things from happening, and instead the system allows these things to happen, which is the wrongful, at least, incarceration. Now, these guys were released. And that's the good news. And the better news will be when she's charged with a crime. I don't know if she will be. And even better news will be now that these five men, now that their names have been released to the press, or four of their names, because four were arrested and a fifth wasn't, their names have been released to the press. So everybody knows who these guys are. They didn't rape anybody. It was consensual sex. It was four guys and one chick. I don't know what that's about. Sounds crowded to me, but it was not an act of violence. It was not an act. It wasn't a criminal act at all. It was a consensual act of group sex. Four guys, one chick. We know four of their names. The chick, we don't know her name. Why is that? Because they were arrested, they were booked, and their names released, as is custom when police book people into jail. Why do we not know her name? For starters, there are laws that shield the possible victims of rape. Now that we know it's a hoax, her name is still not known to us because the police have not booked her as a suspect in a crime yet. So she's sort of in this limbo between being a protected victim, an alleged victim of rape, which she no longer is, but she hasn't been arrested for anything yet. So she's just sort of sitting there in the middle and we don't know what her name is. Now, if she is arrested, as is the suggestion of this story, then we'll know who the hell she is. And what is at the end of this road? What do we learn from this? What do we learn from all of this? Well, in my opinion, I'm just finding out about this story today, It turns out, in my opinion, this DA did her job. The police did their job. They reviewed the evidence. They realized that these guys should not have been arrested, and they have been released. If you're going to blame the police or you're going to blame the DA, you're going down the wrong road. Believe you me when I tell you. You're just going down the wrong road. If you don't like a system, for instance, that releases the names of suspects and crimes, you can do something about it. If you don't like the system that releases the names of suspects and crimes who later turn out to be innocent, there are some things we can do about that. I suppose we can say you don't release the name of the guy until he gets convicted of the crime. But that, I suppose that wouldn't be something that the press would like. It's sad that there are some crimes that are so heinous and can taint someone for so long that when you release the name of someone arrested for a crime like that, that person becomes guilty until proven innocent. And even if he is discharged by the police, that is, let out, the perception remains. Whose fault is that? This broad. Are we going to know who she is? I hope so, because she should be arrested. Filing a false police report, whatever else they can slap her with, would be fantastic. All right, so that's Hofstra University. Now, just moving across state lines into Connecticut, police charged a Yale animal lab technician with murdering a graduate student who worked in his building. A portrait began to emerge on Thursday of an unpleasant stickler for the rules who often clashed with researchers and considered the mice cages his personal fiefdom. The mice cages. Police charged 24-year-old Raymond Clark III with murder, arresting him at a motel a day after taking hair, fingernail, and saliva samples to compare with evidence from the grisly crime scene at Yale's medical school. Tomorrow night, we're going to have on Dr. Michael Stone from television's Most Evil on Investigation Discovery. And Dr. Stone has done some preliminary investigation into this guy, and he'll have a little information for us. He may have a hell of a lot more by tomorrow night. But again, the man's name is Raymond Clark III. Bond was set at $3 million for Clark, who kept his head down and said, "Yes, Your Honor," when asked whether he understood his rights. He's a muscular former high school baseball and football player. He is charged in the death of 24-year-old Anna Lee, who was a pharmacological doctorate student at Yale, who vanished on September the 8th. Her body was discovered 5 days later, her wedding day, stuffed into a utility compartment behind a wall in the basement of the research building where she and Clark worked. Authorities offered no details about the crime Thursday. They would not discuss a motive, largely because Clark will not talk to police and would not disclose the DNA test results or how they connected Clark to the slaying. Is it an educated guess? Oh, Dr. Sloan is a week from Friday. Sorry. Is it an educated guess to say that the DNA matched? Yeah. Or they don't have all the results just yet, but they've decided to go ahead and arrest this guy because there's other evidence that is so strong, they feel confident in arresting him right now. So that's something else to consider. If they've got DNA back and the DNA does not match this guy, it doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't get arrested either, because there could have been two people involved. So it's not open and shut. And the police know that. Nonetheless, the guy is right now in police custody. His name's Raymond Clark III. And one of the things about DNA that we've talked about on the show before, and police technique and police procedure, forensics, and the whole method that police use today for investigating crimes, they are literally stopping serial killers before they really get going. I mean, this guy that killed the lady in the Craigslist murder, this guy was probably on his way to killing God knows how many people before they stopped him. In this instance, it was one. Maybe there are more, but in the instance of a guy like this, if he's indeed a psychopath, they might have saved a whole lot of lives. We don't have, I don't think we're going to be seeing in the future the kinds of unsolved serial crimes that bedeviled police over the last 100 years. We're talking about 20, 30, 40, 50 victims and 30 years before you pick a guy up and arrest him for the crime, like that Dennis Rader, that BTK. That guy was walking around. He was working in a church. That Gary Ridgway was driving a truck. It wasn't until we got this DNA that they finally hooked this Ridgway and this piece of garbage, this Raider, and both of those guys now, and I don't know whether, I wish to God they'd stick them in the electric chair, but I guess, I don't know. But both of those guys are definitely off the street. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Peter in Houston. Peter on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Phil. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, mm-hmm. I wanted to say something about these people that are complaining, these anti-birthers, these tri-corner hat people that complain about the European health plans. I live in Houston, okay? And we have some of the most horrible slums here you would not even believe, okay? But in Europe, go to Europe. Have any of these people been to Europe? And that is a prosperous area. You do not see slums, and everybody has health care. Let me give you an
instance. Well, have you walked into slums lately in Europe? Let me ask you this. I'll ask you, when do you travel to Europe that you decide you're going to find the most economically depressed area of town and go there?
If you just go from the airport to a train station to your destination, you do not see slums.
Okay, I can travel from where I am right now to Los Angeles proper, and I don't see slums either.
Well, I have been in South L.A., in Compton.
No, I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm not saying they don't exist, but you're an American traveling in your own country. I'm asking you, when you travel in Europe...
I'm in Houston, but there are...
I know you're in Houston. What I'm saying is that you're familiar with American slums. We all are. Now, I'm asking you, and the reason why I'm familiar with American slums, as I'm sure you are, Peter, is I've been in them. I've seen them. I've traveled through them.
Right.
Now, when we go to Europe, when we travel to Europe, do we target slums and travel to them?
No, not directly.
All right.
But my point being, here's the direction I'm trying to get to, is that here in Houston, according to the World Health Organization, and you know you've heard the whole canard about there are statistics, and then there's damn lies, right? We have a higher infant mortality rate here in Houston than we do in most African countries, which is just absurd.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. And I know that America's, America is lagging in a lot of those vital areas of health. I think you probably might have wanted to start your comments off by not saying that they don't have slums in Europe, but that they handle the problems of their people in terms of illness better,
right?
Because they have these kinds of national health umbrellas, if you will, or assistant programs. But Americans, I will say this again, this is a problem that is very, very cultural. It has nothing to do with intelligence, and it has nothing really to do with the facts. It has to do with a perception that this is the new world, and we don't do things the way they do things over there in the old world, even though the Canadians do. You know, the thing I got about Canadians is they act more like Europeans than they do North Americans. They act more like Europeans than they do North Americans. And the reason why Canadians act more like Europeans than they do North Americans is as a reaction to us. They don't want to be American. I don't know what they are. I know what they're not. They ain't Europeans. And neither are we. So what do? We take the marvelous private health insurance industry that we have, and it is a wonderful industry. It just doesn't cover everybody. And that means it costs the rest of us a lot of money because these people that are not covered have to be helped. We take that and we fuse it with some kind of a public service. We create American public health care. Now, if you look at it that way, and I think a lot of these Tea Party people ought to start looking at things a little more creatively and a lot less reactively, you're going to find that we can do this. We can save ourselves a hell of a lot of money, and it's not going to turn us into Germany, Britain, or even Canada, all right? 877-876-PHIL. Keith Olbermann gets out of the material award tonight for I don't know how many. This might be the ninth time Keith has gotten an out of material award. That guy is so out of material, he's still all over Palin. He is still all over Palin. He is still sweating all over her and grunting. We'll be back with Keith and his award tonight, and he's got a mantle full of them. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
right, welcome back here to World Famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And it's time now for our Out of Material Award, and this is an award that we give to anybody in the media that keeps banging on the same damn drum, man, keeps hitting the same note over and over and bloody over again. I mean, there comes a time when you just move on with your life, man, and you take a good, long, hard look at where you are, huh? And I think that our very, very dear friend, Keith Olbermann, I say dear friend, I've never met him, but I think that our very, very dear, fine, you know, cat, Keith Olbermann, I think this guy really ought to do it, but he's not doing it, so we're going to have to cite him again with our Out of Material Award here. And tonight it is him and some douchebag, I don't know who it was, were bashing on Sarah Palin, all right? Now, look, I know Bush said what he said, and maybe that's why it's news, but you already have been there and done that, Keith, you know? I mean, you've been talking about this chick. If I thought, you know, if you talked about her anymore, I'd swear to God you're in love with her. I'd swear to God you got something for her, man, because you can't get off of this. You and Schuster. Now, I'll give you this much. You've been able to, you know, create your niche over there at MSNBC. Schuster's still trying to figure out what it is he does for a living over there. So I guess he's just going to, you know, steal any material that he possibly can. Anyway, despite recent segments calling Republicans hateful and mean, MSNBC host Keith Olbermann hosted a segment on Countdown again, attacking Sarah Palin in a hateful and mean-spirited way. Here's what he did. Along with guest Michael Musto, a columnist for The Village Voice, the two poked fun at the Washington Speakers Bureau, a group that arranges speeches by politicians and policymakers for various organizations. Continuing the network's constant criticism of Sarah Palin, even though she's not in the news. Well, that's not true. She was in the news because Bush had, as I said, he had mentioned her as being bad for the parties. But you know what? That's Bush, man. I'd hate to think now, Oberfuhrer, that you're getting all of your material from Bush. Olbermann said he asked Musto for suggestions, assuming he was playing the role of representing the former Alaska governor, to which Musto said he'd rather go to hell. Okay. Anyway, here is our Out of Material Award for this jackass.
The Palin sales pitch from this Washington Speakers Bureau. How did they leave out Maverick? These people are not even trying.
I know. I guess that goes without saying, sort of like giant douche nozzle. And, I don't know, four eyes. What other label fits her? Forever 21?
Okay, and then here is Musto taking a shot at Palin for her daughter's child and her own special needs kid.
In fact, I think Sarah should go along with that, get a fake Emmy Award, pretend to be Tina Fey, and as people crack up over everything she says, she could just say, well, it's supposed to be funny, wink, wink.
Is part of the excitement of potentially booking her to speak at your wedding or your bar mitzvah, is the whole guessing game of whether she'll actually show up because she has not shown up at a number of...
You know what? I can't, you know, you know what I mean.
He's a jackass.
It's the cat. You win, Keith. You win, man. God almighty, you know why you're never going to beat O'Reilly? And O'Reilly sucks. There's no question. You know why you're never, ever going to touch that guy? Because, Olbermann, you don't have the balls to bring anybody on your show that you will debate. You bring on these sycophants like this lightweight from the Village Voice. Some guy that realizes newspapers are not remotely in the future of civilized man. And maybe he can get a talking head shot over there on messed up NBC. I don't know. All right, let's go to a phone call here. We have Eric in Lincoln, New Hampshire. Eric, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Phil. Just wondering...
How you doing, man?
With the state of the way America is going these days, and the state, you know, you got the government stepping in for baseball with, you know, steroid use. How much longer before the American government steps in and stops, you know, saying to the, you know, the Players Association and the owners, why are you going to pay these guys $210 million over a course of 10 years to play a children's game? Where are they going to start taxing some of them and saying, hey, throw us a portion of your proceeds, you know, pay off some of this national debt that you guys got instead of building these $1 billion stadiums that no one shows up to?
Well, you're talking about taxing businesses, and they tax those businesses, and they tax the owners of those businesses.
Yeah, I mean, they tax to a portion, but I mean, you know, when are we going to put a cap, an actual cap, saying, you know, instead of playing guys like Alex Rodriguez, you know, $210 million, say, you know what, these guys don't need 20 billion-bedroom houses. Let's just make
Well, you're not paying. Well, wait. Hold on for a minute. Where do you get off telling them that? You and I go through the turnstiles and watch that stuff. So they make a lot of money, and they can afford to pay the guy the money.
And I understand that, but I mean...
Are you sure?
I'm a big baseball lover, and I also think that right now, American people should be boycotting it, because it's getting ridiculous.
It's not going to happen.
What's that?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. People aren't going to boycott baseball.
Well, I can...
Baseball is a business, even though, of course, it does have protection from the Congress. But baseball, you know, like any other business, they make a certain amount of money. They have to deal with a union. The people that run the teams and own the teams, they make their salaries. The players make their salaries. The people that come through the turnstiles pay the money. I've never understood ever the argument and the complaining about how much sports stars make. They make what they make because the guys that pay it can afford it. Believe me when I tell you that if they couldn't afford it, they wouldn't pay it. I don't know why all of a sudden we start thinking of guys that own baseball teams and football teams are being forced to pay this money and they're just struggling with their businesses as a result. It isn't happening. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.